music means to me life. You know, I would not leave without music. I wouldn't. I cannot imagine, you know, myself without doing music, without playing guitar, composing music, creating music. It's everything to me, you know. Music is everything for me.
I'm Joni Deutsch, and from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Amplifier, the music podcast where we shine a light on the Charlotte music scene. Because Charlotte is more than just a banking city or a football city. So each weekday during the month of September, we're going to explore the people, places, and things that help define the Queen City's crown sound. And today, a Romani gypsy guitarist who brings a different Western and country sound to the South. That's coming up on Amplifier.
Amplifier. And then the beat will drop.
Amplifier.
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 Can you introduce yourself and what you do with music?
My name is Vadim Kolpakov, and I'm originally from Russia, from Moscow, and I live in Charlotte for about 12 years. And I'm a musician. I play on a Russian seven-string guitar, what we call, and also singer and dancer of a gypsy style of music and dance.
Vadim, how did you get started in music in Russia?
Well, my uncle is one of the famous guitar players, one of the best seven-string Russian Roma guitar players. So he was my teacher and my kind of idol, you know, in music when I was growing up. And when I turned about 13 years old, I started thinking about it seriously. So I, you know, studied with my uncle, Alexander Kolpakov, for a few years. And that's how, you know, I started my music career, basically.
And I read that you began working at the Roman Gypsy Theater at the age of 15.
Yes, that's right.
Which seems like it's a really young age to start working in a theater. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, since my uncle was a music director for this theater for about 30 years, so I probably had to go to he said, well, come on, you know, you got to work, and so you got to play with me. And so I started, you know, working since my teenage, about 15, and I didn't have even like a passport, you know. In Russia, you have a passport when you turn 16, so you gotta get your ID. And so I came to the theater, you know, to the audition. And, you know, that was a very interesting experience for about 8 years when I, you know, started working in 1996 and left theater in 2004 when I moved to the U.S.
And tell me more about your work with music while you're still in Russia. I mean, what lessons did you have and what did you learn along the way of how to be a musician?
Well, you know, since I, you know, started music with my uncle, I also studied dance and theater and, you know, singing, everything at the performing arts school. Romani Performing Arts School in Moscow was called Giluri, which means in Romani language song. And by the way, I'm not sure if people know what this Romani word means. So
yeah, I'd love to get into that a little bit.
Yeah, Roma is a correct referral, the name for gypsies, what we know in English, right? We have our own language, and Romani people came from India 1,000 years ago and spread all over the world, like Jewish people, pretty much similar history. And I was studying at this Romani Performing Arts School in Moscow, and also was already working at the theater at the same time. So, yeah.
Tell me more about Romani music, because there may be some people listening to this interview who
maybe they don't realize they've heard it before, maybe they've never heard it before.
Exactly.
So how would you describe that type of music?
Well, the Romani music is different. There's no such a, you know, like one type of Romani music, because in flamenco, in Spain, flamenco is a Romani music, we call it, because the Romani people came to Spain about 16th century, and they created this style of music with the influence of different cultures as well. So they had like Arabic influence at that time, also Spanish, original Spanish music. So, and they mixed it up, and flamenco, you know, became kind of national popular music from Spain, right? So gypsy jazz is one of the styles that people might know. The Django Reinhardt, the guitar player, was in France. So at the beginning of the 20th century, he created this style of music. Stefan Grappelli, the greatest violin player, was developing this music with Django. So this music people might know as a gypsy music. And there's also like Eastern European music, what basically I specialize in, like Russian gypsy music or Balkan gypsy music. So there's a lot of different types of gypsy music.
And that flowed through your family for generations. So you're the third, fourth generation?
Yeah. We're three generations of guitar players. So my nephew now, who lives in L.A., and his name is Sasha Kolpakov, and he's the youngest one. But my son also a dancer and singer, and he's 10 years old. Yeah, so he's not yet in the on a big stage, but he got the first prize national in ballroom dancing in America.
Oh, that's great. So what does that mean to you, of having this be a family tradition that you pass along from your uncle helping you out to your son, to your nephew?
Well, it's a very important part in my life, basically, that I have, what I think is I have to continue this tradition. The whole life that I live, I will do that, you know, because not many people in the West, like especially in America, in the States, know about it. So this is my kind of dream, and to make it big, you know, to spread the word about this music, this beautiful culture, you know, that people should expose for themselves. And so I think that's my kind of life, even, you know, I would say it's my life to do the music.
What is it about gypsy music you find so wonderful that really makes you want to make more of it and more of it and share it with people? Is there a certain element of it?
Yeah. The one of the most important element in that is improvisation. So it's like jazz. Every time you play it from your heart, from your soul, and you expose something new in it, you know, even though there's a traditional tunes and stuff. So, but every time you play, if you can, you can improvise and compose something new. So there's no end in this music, you know. There's no particular, like, music score that, as you could do it with classical music, right? So you can read and play like it's written. So it would not happen in Romani music.
When you moved to Charlotte, sounds like almost two decades ago, I would place a bet on there not being very many Romani gypsy musicians in the area. Is that a fair bet to make?
Yes, exactly. There's nobody, actually. But, you know, first of all, you know, I moved to Charlotte because of the UNC Charlotte. So I was artist in residence for a couple of years here, and I was teaching, you know, probably, you know, the students and even faculty discovered, you know, something new for themselves, because they probably never played or never danced this style of you know, culture, like gypsy, you know, music. And then so I was doing a couple of shows, put the big shows at the university, and involved everybody, you know, that I could, you know, students, faculty, and some guest musicians. And, you know, I was trying to find, like, you know, the professional musicians outside of a university who could play this style. So it was really hard. But I did, you know, found a couple of performers and even my wife, who is a dancer. So I found her in Charlotte and she does a flamenco and a gypsy style of dancing.
So it sounds like you perform in almost two ways in Charlotte now, or you have been since you moved here. You have the kind of educational part, the part where you have the students and you have the university. And then maybe there's that second part, the one where you are the non-educator musician, the one that you're going out into the different venues like Tosca Music Party and doing your music there for an audience that's not really like the teenage, not teenage, not the student variety.
Right.
And it sounds like on the university side of things, that was enriching and exciting and supportive. I'm wondering on the other side, you being just a musician out at a venue in Charlotte, how was that?
In Charlotte, it was, you know, it was interesting. It was fun to start kind of discovering for myself what's, you know, going on in Charlotte and if there's anything, you know, there's a niche like that I could fit in and or expose. So, but I was, you know, as I said, it's not probably educational, but it is educational at the same time because, you know, what I do is actually not very known. It wasn't known probably in Charlotte before I came here. So, and, you know, John Tosco found me and he invited me and he was very excited to have me for his show. So I was playing every other year or so at his shows and with different musicians. I was inviting people, you know, to play with me. And last time we actually played with my nephew. Aww. So he was here, you know, from Russia and it was fun, you know. Everybody, you know, when I play, so there's standing ovation at the theater, you know, they come even, you know, clapping and, you know.
So they like you.
See, yeah, they do, yeah. So I'm kind of known to this community, you know, that John Tosco brings to his parties. And yeah, I you know, I had different type of collaborations with dancers, musicians in Charlotte. And, you know, I've done some other concerts around and, you know, some shows with my band that I was bringing into Charlotte.
Is that the Kolpakov Trio?
No, it was Via Romaine
okay.
that I created in America, in Boston. And I played like my solo gigs too.
Well, I ask about the Kolpakov Trio.
Yes.
Because one of the concerts you're referring to may have occurred around 2008. It may have been an international tour of sorts, and it may have been with some musician, I don't know, Madonna.
So, well, exactly, yeah.
On her, was it Sticky and Sweet tour?
Yes, yes.
I mean, you're gigging with Madonna internationally. That's insane.
Well, first of all, you know, I was touring with my uncle, the Kolpakov Trio that you mentioned, in 1999. So I was like about 17 years old. And I wasn't even adult at that time, but I was so excited.
But you had your passport by then.
Yes, I did. And I was very excited, you know, to come to US. And we had a huge tour. We played like, you know, Kennedy Centers and places like that. You know, it was a great project. It was called the Gypsy Caravan. So it was like different bands from different countries. And we represented Russia at that time. And so I was very excited, you know, to see U.S. for the first time, you know, like tour all the cities, you know, I was like crazy about it. And, you know, we grew up on music like, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire and all this, you know, great jazz and everything from the States. So for the first time for me to see the country was very excited. And then I had a tour in 2004, also 2003 with him. We had recording a project here with another band. It's my colleague Oleg Timofeev. So our trio was a couple of times in the US before we toured with Madonna. And with Madonna, it was like world tour, you know, the biggest tour that I had in my life. It was like stadiums, you know, like thousands of people, arenas, and all European countries. We played in all European countries, North America, you know, Canada, U.S., Mexico, South America. So it was very, very huge tour.
I assume that since your uncle was like maybe the leader, the source of the trio, how did Madonna's camp reach out to him and book you all for that international tour?
Well, that's an interesting story. We had a friend in common. You probably know this band, the Gogol Bordello, the gypsy punk.
We stepped together in the river. We traded fever on turmoil. Last time I saw you was in the middle. I wonder if you hit the soil. Where are you now, my compañera? Your baby claw stuck in my chest.
And Eugene Hoots, the leader of this band, is our friend and Madonna's friend. So, and he was like acting in her movie that she directed first time called Filth and Wisdom. And so he was the main actor in that movie. And I think she was looking for a different kind of music and something more Eastern European or something. So he gave her a CD of my uncle that was recorded in Switzerland, his first album from 1996. And she loved that so much. So she included that music, his music, in the movie, in that film. And then, you know, she has a birthday in 2007, and she invited us to her birthday. So we flew to London, to the UK, and met her, and, you know, and had some party and played for her, you know. So by that time, she was married to Guy Ritchie, you know. The
film director and actor,
yeah. So we met him as well, and it was great. And then, you know, after a while, we got a call, and, you know, her managers, you know, called us and said, hey, you know, should Madonna call you for a tour? We're like, what? Like, how, you know, I was very surprised, like, surprised how our traditional music could fit into pop music that she does all her life. But she's amazing director, you know, for the shows. She knows what she's doing.
And if you watch the video from those concert dates, I mean, there's some of you, you know, doing there's a very classic move of the lead singer kind of rubbing shoulders or backs with the guitar player. And you are the guitar player in that situation with Madonna. And you look like you're having a blast.
Oh, yeah, we had fun. We rehearsed that a lot.
Of course.
We practiced like for a few months this show. It was amazing, you know, rehearsals and everything. But after that, we kind of, you know, have fun in front of thousands of people and spread, you know, the word about the gypsy music that was, I was proud of it.
Coming up, Vadim on playing country music from another country. And sometimes covering Michael Jackson and Adele. That's right after this break on Amplify.
What's
Hey, Amplifier listeners. If you're looking for another podcast from WFAE, I highly recommend She Says, hosted by Sarah D'Elia. She Says follows the story of one Charlotte woman who was sexually assaulted in 2015 and is still traveling a long and winding road to justice and healing. It's WFAE's first investigative podcast, and it was recently recognized as a finalist at the Online Journalism Awards for Excellence in Audio Storytelling. All of that to say, She Says is really worth a listen. Listen to the She Says podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and WFAE.org. With that said, let's get back to our interview. What is it in American music that's not allowing for a breakthrough of sorts besides Gogo Badalo of this kind of music?
I think, you know, the mainstream is kind of taking over. The pop will simplify everything in nowadays. You know, it's probably too complicated for people to listen. I mean, where's jazz? Like, let's say, right? Jazz music, which is amazing style of American, culture. Where is that now? I mean, it's not even popular anymore, right? So we have some jazz, but it's not as it used to be. So all we hear is like, three chords, you know, despacito, whatever, you know, it's like, I mean, and where our music would be fit like into it. So there should be like some kind of world music programs maybe that could expose to people this kind of music, you know.
Yeah, and I would say that with Despacito and other songs that are mainstream, the little music-loving heart in me says that everything has a valid place in music.
Right.
But in moments like Despacito, those steps in mainstream music to show that there is world music that you can dive into, it makes it accessible to allow for that portal to open for you to go into and listen to other, like, you know, Latin American songs or Latin American artists. That's something that... I would love to see more of for all other genres. Same for jazz.
Yes.
Same thing for gypsy music.
Yeah.
Because once you have that, then it just opens the boundaries.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's music of, I don't know how to say that, but it's ancient music as well. You know, it's a history. There's behind of it. It's a history of it. You know, it's music from heart. It's a real music, what we call it. It's not electronic, you know, that you could just play on the computer.
And it's also contemporary.
It is contemporary.
Just looking at your latest release, your debut album of sorts is a collaboration between yourself and your nephew, Sasha, which is called Undercover. And, I mean, in it, you both do these different interpretations of songs from around the world. I mean, you have, of course, the Michael Jackson cover of Billie Jean. Then, did I hear correctly on this that you have a song, a cover of a theme from a Russian TV show of the 70s?
Exactly.
I mean, it goes all over the place from, like, you cover things in a way that's, you know, a mix of flamenco and Latin rhythms, basically everything you've described, and you make it so accessible, and it's such a lovely piece.
Thank you so much, and yeah, I really appreciate that you like it.
I want to dive into the record and how you and Sasha came together to record this. There's so many songs out there you could have done treatments for. So how did you select the ones that were on this record?
Well, basically, in 2005, my nephew came to Charlotte to visit me and also play with me, you know, concerts and stuff. So we decided to record this first album. And he was studying classical music in the music college in Russia. And he got into, like, different styles after classical music. Studies he got, like, into jazz, Spanish flamenco, pop music, and all kind of styles. And so he said, well, I have an idea, you know, I have a couple of tunes that we might record, you know, I have some little arrangements for one guitar, why don't we do, you know, with two of us? And I said, well, I have also, you know, a few songs that I would like to put together. So he was more, like, pushing me into, like, into modern style, which I love too. And he said, okay, well, how about like Michael Jackson, listen what I, you know, I got here on the guitar and I added something to it. So we made this. So we worked for about half a year to make this old album, you know, like the music for it. And then we just got into studio and recorded all of these tracks. So there's some, as you said, the Spanish, you know, Paco de Lucía, the greatest guitar player of flamenco style. We recorded his tune, famous tune, and then the Adele, mm-hmm. you know, song. And,
yeah, Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah, and there's some, you know, Russian tune, 17 Moments of Spring. So that's, yeah, that's what we, you know, came up with.
I think it's a lovely mix of genres and artists to be able to show that whether you come in for maybe the more traditional fare or something a little bit more 21st century, gypsy music can still be very lively, very engaging, and just very passionate.
It is. It is. It's very lively music. As I said, you know, you were mentioning it to me to describe the word heart, right? I mean, for the music.
Right, and just to give context there, you know, earlier this summer when we put a call out to the Charlotte area for music submissions, we had a question within that music form, and it was, what's it like making music in Charlotte? And your response, Vadim, was one word, a very important word, a very big word. The word was hard. And so I'm sorry, continue what you're thinking about the hard statement.
Well, you know, music is hard, right? I mean, it is hard. Basically, I think when you play for people, you play it from inside of you, like from your soul, right? So there's different kind of musicians in the world, right, that play differently. You know, there's some better, some worse, you know, music. But the main important thing in your career, like in you as a musician, it should be like, you know, playing this music from your heart, from your soul. What I mean by that, every piece that you play on stage, even for 50 people or, you know, 500,000, did the same. So I was playing it from my heart. And especially in gypsy music, you gotta do it, you know, you gotta be passionate about it, you know, while you're playing. And every note should be singing, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, as you sing like a vocalist or as a singer, you know, you could do the same on the instrument, like especially on the guitar that I play, you know. So that's one of my, you know, important rules in my performances, to do that always, to deliver this message to people, you know, from your heart. And then people will understand it, even though they don't, maybe they are not familiar with this style of music, but they will feel it, you know, and they will appreciate what you do for them.
What else is hard about making music, especially in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Well, Charlotte became my second hometown, I would say, you know, my hometown. It's my heart. I love, you know, people, the community, the region, the North Carolina people. And my son grew up here. So my son was born in Charlotte. And we decided to stay here, you know, because we found it our home with my wife. And so I would love to spread more, you know, my music and share with people, because, you know, as you know, in Charlotte, there's a lot of people moved to Charlotte from north, from New York, California. So there's a lot of work to do.
What makes you want to continue making music in Charlotte?
I think the reason is, as I said, you know, I love the community, and also, like, you know, discover for people, you know, to bring for people, for this community, different type of music. You know, this state is of music from, like, you know, southern style, right? Like
bluegrass, country.
Country, yes.
Maybe some blues, yeah.
And I, when people ask me, what kind of music do you play? I say, you know, sometimes I joke like this. I say, I play both kinds, Western and country. So, but I play music, I mean, I play country music from another country. That's one of the, you know, things. So I play Russian gypsy music, but I love all kind of styles. You know, I love jazz, I love classical, you know, pop and lots. I kind of developed something new, I think, on the Russian seven-string guitar. That, you know, nobody done that before, I think. And so I you know, mix it up with gypsy music. And I would love to share with many people as much as I can.
Vadim Kolpakov's latest release with his nephew Sasha is titled VS Guitar Duo, available on vadimkolpakov.com and wherever fine music is streamed and sold. Amplifier is a production of WFAE. This episode was written and produced by me, Joni Deutsch. Our associate producer is Cole Del Charco. Our editors are Greg Collard and Jadon Marshall. Our theme music is provided by Dirty Art Club. You can share your favorite Charlotte music recommendations right now on social media. Just follow and tag me. I'm at A Change of Tune. New episodes of Amplifier drop each weekday this September, so make sure to subscribe to the Amplifier podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and wherever you find podcasts. For more Charlotte music chats, including playlists and even a Charlotte music map, visit wfae.org/amplifier. Until next time, I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.